appreciate the friendly way in which Floyd presented his material. But my little 9-year-old son just made the observation that he didn't use any verses. I said, you know, that's right, he didn't use any verses. And Josh said, was that because he can't prove his position? And I said, that's right. He didn't use any verses. He's a fine speaker and a nice man, but he didn't use any verses to prove his position. Now, the first argument he made in proof of his position is he made a comparison of black slavery to male leadership in the church, and he acted like they're the same. I think we need to have a little lesson on slavery here. People have, I believe, misunderstood that through the years. The slavery we had in this country, whites having slavery over blacks, would be wrong today, and it was wrong then. It was sinful then. It was never right. And I never did it myself, assuming my ancestors did, I'll apologize to any blacks here. If my ancestors ever had your ancestors enslaved, that was wrong. The Bible never justifies that. Now, we do read about slavery in the Bible. We said, Pat, don't we read about slavery in the Bible? Yes, but if you make an examination of the kind of slavery that's condoned in the New Testament, it was not like the slavery we have here in America. Let's look at the Old Testament. And I'm going to show you a different type of slavery, which is the type of slavery we ought to have today. But our government is so liberal, they would never let us have it. Look at Leviticus chapter 25, verse 47, for example. It says, if a sojourner or stranger wax rich by thee, and thy brother that dwelleth by him wax poor, and sell himself unto the stranger or sojourner by thee, or to the stock of the stranger's family. Now, this is what we call an indentured servant. Back in those days, and in England long ago, and even in America long ago, if I got into a lot of debt, I didn't feel like I could pay it off. I could basically volunteer myself as a slave to the man that I owed the money to. And we maybe have a contract. If I owed $150,000 and I didn't see any way I was going to pay it off, maybe I'd say I'll work for you as a slave, which means just for room and board, no salary, for say 7 years to pay off my debt. Indentured slavery. It's voluntary. You follow what I'm saying? Or for maybe the debtor's court would take a man who would never pay his debts, and they might sell him into slavery. It would be like committing a crime when you didn't pay your debts, and they would make him a slave, and in effect, he would pay off his debt by working that way. This is called indentured slavery, voluntary slavery. We read about something similar to this also in Matthew chapter 18, verse 25. Look at that. It says, for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife, the children, all that he had, and payment to be made. So they sold him because he couldn't pay off his debts, paid off his debts. Okay? This, I'm convinced, is the type of slavery we read about that's condoned in the New Testament. Now, here's the kind of slavery we had in America between the, 1600s and 1700s and part of the 1800s. This is a totally different kind of slavery. This is where whites, evil white men, went over to Africa or wherever the case may be, it was other places too, and they, at gunpoint or whatever, in effect, kidnapped blacks and brought them over. And sometimes, if history is so, sometimes maybe a third or a fourth of them may have died on the ship on the way back. They did not treat them right, but it was basically they kidnapped them at gunpoint and shot them if they didn't come. Now, can anybody look me in the eye and say that's New Testament teaching? That New Testament teaches you can go to another country, or anywhere for that matter, point a gun at somebody's head, kill him if he won't come with you, but point a gun at his head, take him back and make him a slave against his will. The Bible never said anything close to that. Now, let's look at a few verses in the Bible. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, for example. And you tell me if this sounds like the kind of slavery we had in America was condoned by the Bible. Certainly not. Ephesians 4:32 says, be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as Christ hath forgiven you. You mean we can take a gun and point at somebody's head and make them come work for free for the rest of their life and sell their children and make them marry who they want to and still be practicing Ephesians 4:32? You've got to be kidding. Look at Matthew chapter 5, verse 39. Matthew 5, verse 39. But I say to you that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him thy also. That means you can point a gun at somebody's head and shoot him if he won't become your slave? You can kidnap him? Of course not. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 10. 1 Timothy 1, verse 10. It says, prostitutes, for them that defile themselves with mankind, that's talking about homosexuals. For men stealers, that's talking about people who kidnap other people. And we have people in this country now who kidnap others for ransom, but also when they went and got slaves back then, that was kidnapping. They would kidnap, for the most part, they targeted the young, strong men, and they'd kidnap them from their family. Sometimes they took the whole family. It says, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that's contrary to sound doctrine. So kidnapping is put in this kind of language in the Bible. This kind of slavery we had in America was never right. Floyd said, well, you got to interpret in relation to the facts at the time they were being interpreted. What Floyd meant by that is that it was right at that time. I'm putting words in his mouth, I know that, but this is how what he's saying. That at that time, when you read the Bible about slaves, you know, obey your masters and masters treat your slaves right, that it was right at that time, but it's not right now. No, the kind of slavery that was right then was indentured slavery, voluntary slavery, somebody working off his debt. It was never right to have what we had going on in this country. Kidnapping is wrong. It always has been a sin, and it still is. It was wrong. Evil men said whites were superior to blacks. God never said so. But get this, God does say men are head over women. He says the head of the woman is the man, 1 Corinthians 11, verse 3. 1 Timothy 2, verse 11 to 12, the woman is not to teach nor usurp authority of the man. Now God says the man is the head of the woman, but he never said that whites are head over blacks. That was what evil white men said. Now let's take Floyd's reasoning off into the future a little bit. It was right back then, and the Supreme Court said this black man, I think he said 1857, that he had no rights. He sued for freedom. And they said, blacks don't have any rights. But now, maybe 100 years after that, the Supreme Court ruled exactly the opposite. Said they do have rights, okay? Floyd presented it as if, well, that was in the context of the times that the Supreme Court was right in 1857 to say black had no rights, but they're right again when they say that black does have rights. No, they were wrong in 1857. They were, you know, blacks had always had rights. They were absolutely wrong when they did it the first time. Nothing changed. The context and the culture didn't change anything. It was always wrong. Now let's take Floyd's reasoning into the future. He says, well, now that us blacks and whites are trying to put down the women, say they're not, that we're superior to them and we're going to be the head over them. That's just us doing that, similar to how evil whites did to blacks 100 to 150 years ago. But of course the difference is the Bible never says blacks were inferior to whites. And the Bible never says women are inferior to men, but it does say men are head over women. But let's take this and extend it to homosexuality thing. Are you telling me, Floyd, based on your reasoning, that 50 years ago it would be wrong to be homosexual? Because that was the culture of that time. After all, as you said, scriptures must be interpreted, quote, in relation to the facts at the time they're being interpreted. And everybody thought homosexuality was wrong back then. But now half of our society now thinks it's okay. And I suspect 50 years from now, 90% will think it's okay. Now, according to your reasoning, homosexuality, which was wrong 50 years ago, would be a maybe now, because society's half and half. 50 years from now, when 90% say it's right, it'll be okay. That's according to your reasoning. But the Bible says that it was an unnatural thing in Romans 1:26-27. And these people shall not, they will be put to death. The Bible condemns homosexuality. Basically, here in 1 Timothy 1, verse 2, it says, them that defile themselves with mankind. That's the old King James Version. The newer versions say homosexuals or sodomites. It's condemned. It's wrong 50 years ago when 90% of the society was against it. It's wrong now when society is 50-50, and it'll be wrong 50 years from now when 90% of the society says it's okay. Because the Bible says it's wrong. That's why. So culture doesn't change it. Do you follow me? The Bible says that man is head over the woman, 1 Corinthians 11, verse 3. The Bible says the woman is not to teach nor usurp authority over the man, 1 Timothy 2, verse 12. So that has been the same since the beginning of the New Testament church in 33 AD. It's the same now, and it should be the same 100,000 years from now if the earth still stands. Do you follow what I'm saying? It won't be changed by society because the Bible said that. The Bible never said whites were superior to blacks. So that was wrong 200 years ago. It's wrong now, and it'll always be wrong. Culture never changed that. It was always wrong. If the Supreme Court said anything different, they were wrong then. And when the ACLU didn't accept you because you were black, but now they do accept blacks, that doesn't mean that they did right then and they did right now. No, they were wrong then. And now they're doing right. If they didn't accept you because you were black, they were wrong then. I don't care about 99.9% of the society said that they did right at that time. They were still wrong. The numbers don't change. It was wrong from the very beginning. And the reason we can tell if something is right or wrong is not because of what culture or society says. It's because of what the Bible says. The Bible says kidnapping is wrong. The Bible says we're to be kind to one another. And that means that the slavery done in this country was always wrong from the very beginning. It's never been right. But the Bible says that men are head over the woman. The Bible says that homosexuality is wrong, so we're just going to accept it, whether we like it or not. Now, another thing is that, you remember I said that I believe that Floyd has changed in these past 3 years about women elders. But let's go to another thing here that I don't think he's changed on. I believe, and he correct me if I'm wrong, I believe he still thinks that the husband is the head of the wife. You remember we read last time Ephesians 5, 22-24? Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands and everything. That's what the Bible says. I believe Floyd still holds to that verse. Husband is the head of the wife. Yep. But holding to that position contradicts almost everything he said in that speech. Because he said, if you hold to a position that puts the woman down in what he would call a less important position, in other words, subject to the man, then that means you think she's inferior to the man. And that means you're basically like the person who was prejudiced against blacks 50 years ago. You know, a lot of whites were, maybe some still are, a lot of whites were prejudiced against blacks. You know, they wouldn't let them in their schools and things like that. They had slavery 50 years ago. You're like that. But Floyd still believes the husband's the head of the wife. So according to his own reasoning, he thinks he's superior to his wife. He's trying to put his wife down, and what he's doing to his wife is just like what the whites did to the blacks 150, 200 years ago with slavery. You see what I'm saying? Because he believes the husband is the head of the wife. He still believes that. Number eight. One other thing I asked you about roles. He mentioned roles. Woman and the man and the husband and wife have different roles. According to Ephesians 5, that doesn't make the man superior, it just means they have different roles. He made fun of that, but let me give you another example. The wife bears the children. Any husbands here ever had a child, bore a child? No. Only the woman gets to do that. So there's obviously a different role. Does that make her better than the man or worse than the man? I'm not sure which. But it's obviously a different role. It doesn't mean anybody's better than anybody. It doesn't make the man better than her or the woman better than the man, does it? But they do have a different role. Not a single man in the history of the world has ever bore a child. It's always been the woman's role. Doesn't mean anybody is superior or inferior to anybody else. It just means they have a different role. And that's the way it is in the church. Man is the head over the woman. The woman is not to preach in the church assembly, as we already pointed out. Doesn't make man superior in any way. Just means they have different roles. Just like husband and wife relationship. Husband is the head of the wife. Just means different roles. Doesn't mean anybody's superior. Let's see. Number eight. Actually, I want you to put right down number 10. I'm sorry, I put the wrong one. 10, then 9. Now let's go back to this idea of women elders, pastors. Since Floyd now says it's okay for a woman to be an elder, the Bible precludes a woman from taking this leadership role. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 3, the head of the woman is the man. 1 Timothy 2, 11 and 12, let the woman learn in silence with all subjection, that I suffer not or allow not the woman to teach nor usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. A bishop then must be the husband of the wife. Do you see why I'm opposed to women being elders in the church? Because the Bible says the bishop or the elder, pastor, whatever you want to call it, is a leadership role, and the Bible precludes the woman from taking a leadership role over the man. These verses prove that beyond any shadow of doubt. Now, number 9. Let's look at 1 Timothy 2, 11 and 12. Let the woman learn in silence with all subjection, but I suffer not a woman to teach nor usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. The issue about women preaching in the church assembly. Doesn't this verse teach that the woman is not to teach over the man? Wouldn't that then say that if you're having a Bible study, whether it's a Sunday school class, a Bible class, or the church assembly, where you have a person leading the group in a Bible study, like I'm leading this group right now, that should not be a woman if there's men in the audience? So that would preclude a woman from preaching in the assembly, because if she did, if there were any men in the audience, she would be teaching over the men. setting herself up in a position of leadership over the men, she would violate this passage. So she shouldn't do it. 5 minutes. Back to number two, the linchpin verse I want you to consider tonight. The main verse I'm camping on, because the main topic for tonight is, can a woman be a preacher, as we normally speak of the word, meaning preach from the pulpit in the church assembly. This verse hits that issue directly. It says, let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak. If they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law, if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home, for it's a shame for women to speak in the church. I hate to be so repetitive, but it says the women are to keep silence in the churches. That's God's will on the matter. He says it's not permitted unto them to speak. It's a shame for women to speak in the church. If I were writing the Bible, I would not have put that in there. But I didn't write it. But I am obligated to preach it just like it reads. That's the way it reads. Now, you can argue around it and try to get around it. But when you face God in judgment, on the judgment day, you will face what this verse plainly says. If we love God, if we love God enough, we will accept what this verse says and practice it, whether we agree with it or like it or not. I would do it another way, but because I love God, this is the way I'm going to do it. That's the way God said, I trust Him. And then, Nick, number eight. Remember this little decision chart we had for Floyd. I hope I got the right one. Yes. Notice the Bible says, let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak. But Floyd says, don't let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is permitted unto them to speak. Now, am I not representing the two positions correctly? Floyd, when you get up here, you tell me if I'm not representing it right. But I believe that's right. I believe I'm representing each side correctly. The Bible says, you can read it, let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak. But I believe I'm representing your position correctly, Floyd. Floyd says, don't let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is permitted unto them to speak. I think I'm representing those two positions correctly. I'm not misrepresenting Floyd, am I? I'm not misrepresenting the Bible, am I? So we'll let Floyd check the box for us. He can check it. Which of the above do you think? I'll let the audience, based upon Floyd's speech, do you think Floyd would check it is a shame for women to speak in the church or it is not? Which one? I believe that he would check it is not a shame for women to speak in the church. I believe that's what he would check. If he were choosing which of those is the truth of the gospel, he would check it is not a shame for women to speak in the church. Now, I would check it is a shame for women to speak in the church. I believe all of y'all know that. I've said it over and over enough. You know I would check that. It is a shame for women to speak in the church. Now, the question is, which one of those boxes would God choose? Which, if God were standing here and he said, I'm going to choose one of those boxes, which is the truth of the gospel, which one do you think God would choose? Do you think he would check it is a shame for women to speak in the church? Or do you think he would check it is not a shame for women to speak in the church? Now, I would check the first one, Floyd the second one. Which one do you think God would check? Let's go back to number two and we'll see which one God did check. Let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak. But they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is a shame for women to speak in the church. I believe that's pretty simple and plain. We love our brother Floyd. I've asked you to listen to him attentively as he speaks these next 20 minutes.
Today we will be morally right tomorrow. And what is politically wrong today will be politically right tomorrow. Slavery was morally wrong then, it is morally wrong now. It was politically right and legally right then, but it is also legally and politically wrong now. And I want to be clear about what I said about the church and about racial segregation. The ugly truth is, however we might want to ignore it, we were the last church in this country to desegregate our schools, and at the time we thought it was right. I remember hearing Brother Keeble talk to us about Jew first. He said, you were not white folks, but somebody got to do it first. The Bible said Jew first, and then also the Greek. Well, we laughed, but nobody bought that. And now nobody buys it, because segregation based on race is wrong. And I believe that discrimination based on gender is equally wrong. For Floyd Rose, that I speak for nobody but me, for Floyd Rose, I believe that it is morally and ethically wrong. And any church in the future that discriminates against women, in other words, which advocates that a person or a woman can't do that solely because she's a woman, something for which she's not responsible, that church will have no more moral or ethical credibility than a pro-slavery church would have today. Now let me look at some of the scriptures that you mentioned. Let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak. I don't know a single Church of Christ congregation that I've visited that makes women keep silent. They sing, that's not silent. They get up and they confess their sins. Well, they don't confess their sins, they confess that they have sinned. Publicly, I don't know about white churches, but among the white congregation, every Sunday, they'll get up. If they missed church last Sunday, they say, brother, sister, I've sinned, I repent and ask for your prayers. Women speak when they come down the aisle to accept Christ. I don't know about in your congregation, but the ones that I'm familiar with, the preacher will extend his hand, and they will take his hand, and he'll say, do you believe with all your heart that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God? And she will say, I do, and they'll say, upon that confession, then we'll baptize in water for the remission of your sins, etc., etc. They do it all the time. So to say women keep silent in the church, what does silence mean? Do you mean mute? They don't say anything? Well, if that's the truth, I don't know of a single Church of Christ that practices that, not one. They sing in unison with men. They repeat affirmation in unison with men. So let your women keep silence in the churches, for it's not permitted unto them to speak. Now, when you go to 1 Corinthians, chapter 11, I believe it is, you will observe something interesting. Women prophesy in the public assembly of that church. Were they silent or not? They, listen to me, read it. They prophesy in the public assembly of that church. Listen to Joel 2:28. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I'll pour my spirit upon all flesh, your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And in Acts 2, Peter said, this is that. Whatever that was, he said, this is it. Look, I know this stuff. I did the same thing he did tonight. I've done it for 40 years. Doesn't hold water. Now, one of the things that we got to be careful about, and that is taking scriptures out of their cultural and their historical context. Now, Paul responded to a problem that had been brought to his attention in Corinth. And that was a problem that women had hollering out, and he just said, look, let the women keep silent. If you have any questions, ask your husband when you get home. Now, to make that a general practice, what about the woman that ain't got no husband? I'm sorry, who does not have one? Who's she going to ask? When he says, clearly ask your husband, then to ask the elders, ask your husband. And if she doesn't have a husband, who's she going to ask? commanded to be under obedience, as also said the law. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is a shame for women to speak in the church. And let me tell you what happens when you make a solution to a specific problem at a specific place, at a specific time, a general solution for all churches everywhere. Let me ask you this question. I got the flu. I've done five of this week. I wasn't sure I was going to be able to do this. And if I have the flu and go to the hospital and I'm given a penicillin shot, because I have the flu, does that mean that everybody in my family got to get up at 3 o'clock in the morning, go to the hospital, get a penicillin shot, and they don't even have the flu, but they do it just to prove that they're in the same family? What am I saying to you? The people at Corinth had a problem, and Paul responded to that problem at that time in that place. We don't have that problem. This church is a church without walls. We don't have denominational walls, we don't have culture walls, we don't have racial walls, and we don't have gender walls. Not one. But Bunyan, who is the minister of this church, his wife, is a great preacher. And I say that braggadocious. She's a great preacher. Now, if you don't want to hear a preacher, just close your eyes and listen. Or don't want to see a preacher, close your eyes and listen. And you know what happened? You'll be inspired, you'll be encouraged. Why would anybody want to build walls, lock out? And when you build a wall, you always wall out far more than you wall in. You wall out more knowledge, you wall out more inspiration, you wall out more wisdom, you wall out more faith, you wall out. You may know what you have on this side of the wall, but you never know what's on the other side of the wall. I don't want to put walls in the church, because the one verse that says it all for Floyd Rose is this: do unto others as you would have others do unto you. All of us. Black folk, white folk, all of us. Jews, Gentiles, all of us. Without regard to race, creed, color, national origin, whether you're Hindu, Muslim, Christian, or Jew, all others. Because before we're anything else, we're human beings. And when Jesus said, do unto others, all others, as you wish that others, all others, do unto you, that for me is the one principle that cannot be tied to time, it cannot be tied to a culture, and it cannot be tied to a race. That is a principle that was relevant then. It's a principle that's relevant now, and it'll be relevant in the next 100 years. You can't treat people as you wish to be treated. I'm a black man. All of my life in this country, I've been discriminated against because of my color. Why would I then, for something for which I'm not responsible, why should I then turn around and discriminate against a woman because she happens to be a woman, something for which she's not responsible? She didn't ask to be a woman, I didn't ask to be a man. I do not choose then to discriminate against her on the basis of gender, and I will never deny her an opportunity to do anything in the church for which she is qualified. I mean, he made a deal about the elders. By the way, this isn't about homosexuality. He brought that up. I didn't really discuss that tonight. That's the subject for another time. Let me say this. When you take scriptures out of their historic and their cultural context, they become a pretext for something that you already want to believe. Take the scripture in their context. Paul didn't just say something, he said something to somebody. He didn't just say something to somebody, he said something to somebody at some time. He didn't just say something to somebody at some time, he said something to somebody sometime at some place. And if you take what he said to those people at that place, at that time, and apply them over here, they might lose their relevance. If God had been intended for the women to keep silent in the church forever, he intended for slaves, for submissive slaves to be forever. I don't believe that. I don't believe that. And I will never allow anybody to enslave me based on the scriptures that white folks did it and they taught black folks to do it. You can't get around it. That's a fact of American history. And I'm going to tell you now, you can quote all the scriptures you want. You can try to stop it if you like. But women will be free in Church of the Christ. They're becoming free all over this country now. I'm sure Pat is aware of that. And you're not going to put that freedom genie back in that box. It ain't, it's not going back in. You can quote all the scriptures you want. You can make all the arguments you want. Women are going to be free. And they understand the principle of treating people as they wish to be treated. Whatever their gender and whatever their race and whatever their color. How much time I got? I want to do a panel.
You've got 9 minutes
and a
half.
Oh, I love this thing. Now, with respect to your son, and I understand that I used to quote the scripture, not the scripture mission. And I know that. But when I got through preaching, I'd stand at the door, people would pass by and they'd say, you sure know the Bible. Now when they pass by, they say, I understood what you had to say to me. And that was more important to me. And I don't mean that it's good, but I don't understand that. Let me do something that Jesus did. He wasn't a big time scripture believer. I think you all know that. But he was a parable man. And he was the greatest preacher who ever lived. And he spoke in parables so often that it was said of him, without a parable, spake he not unto the people. So I'm just a parable preacher. And a parable means that you can see, it means that you throw the unfamiliar alongside the familiar so that the unfamiliar can become familiar. And the sense of a parable is if you can see and understand this, you'll be able to see and understand that. Now here's a parable. There was a church one time where 80% of the members were black and 20% were white. But in that church where 80% of the members were black and 20% were white, all of the positions of authority and perceived authority were held by whites. The preacher was white, the elders were white, the deacons were white, the man who made the announcement was white, the one who led the prayer was white, the one who led the singing was white, the one who read the scripture was white. The black members could prepare the communion, put it on the table, and clean up after it, but they couldn't serve. They could pass it from left to right once it got to one of them, but they couldn't go up to the table and get it and then pass it to any of them in that church where 80% of the people were black and 20% were white. If a black person was teaching a class of all blacks and a white person came in, however unqualified the white person was, the black person had stopped teaching and give the book to the white person. He couldn't do anything with it, but then give it to him because he was white. Now, one of the black members was an accountant at the black bank. but you took care of millions of dollars. But in the white dominated church, she couldn't count money or couldn't account for it. Only a white person could do that. Now, at a funeral, the black person could get up in the pulpit, could pull the poem, could read a scripture, could even sing a solo accompanied by music on a tape recorder in honor of that dead body. But take the dead body out. She couldn't get up in the pulpit. She couldn't sing a solo. She couldn't read a scripture. She could do, or he rather, could do nothing because he was black. Not because he was not qualified, but because he was black. Now, if you can see and understand that, you ought to be able to see and understand this. You have a Church of Christ, 8% or more of the members are white. If you clean up after the communion, but they can't serve it. They can put money in the basket, but then they can have no input on what they put in. They can clean the building. They can be chairman of the cleanup committee. And out there, they can be governors of state. They can be municipal and state judges and Supreme Court judges. They are congresswomen. They are presidents of banks. They are CEOs of multinational corporations. They sit in positions every day where they make decisions over the lives of men. But when they walk in that door, they can't even usher people to their seats. It's wrong. It's wrong. You can shout it, you can quote all the scriptures you like, but something inside of you when you leave here tonight will tell you that there's something wrong with it. There's something wrong with it. That the winds of change, and women, just like them, in the civil rights movement, here's what's going to happen in Church of Christ. It's already happened. When I wrote my book, An Idea Whose Time Has Come, I was ostracized, criticized, withdrawn from the whole nine yards. At the time, in 1997, between 1997 and 1998, I was holding more meetings than any single Church of Christ preacher in this country. Pulpits across this country. 30 different pulpits in 30 different cities. But then when I came to the realization that there's something wrong with the way we treat women, I gave it all up. Not because I wanted to, but because I know down in my heart that the way we treat women is just wrong. In a few years hence, we're going to look back on this night and say, you know, what he said makes sense. I don't even ask you to remember what I said to you. Just remember what you think about it, because it's what you think about it that determines what you do about it. And it is only what you do about anything that really matters. I love you and I thank you for this time. Uncomfortable with, but I'm telling you why you got to write it down. he says the women can't say anything. And what he's saying to you tonight is that I can read what you write, but I can't hear what you say. That makes sense to you all, God bless you. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but the one that I'm here, the rules would be different. You know that I'm not.
You're saying that I can't answer the question?
No, I'm not saying that he's saying that. I think you ought to have the right to public ask the question. He says you can't because it's in the church building. You go out there on the parking lot, I guess it'll say something. And then the church will be out there since the church is on the building.
Anybody can ask the questions, please. Man or woman, please. What we agree to.
I was wrong, that would be enough.